Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Vintage Church Midtown, and happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. This day, like every day, can be complicated. I know there's many in this room that have lost fathers, and so this day is not always the happiest of days for us. There's those of us who want to be fathers. For all you who are fathers, man, we want to just say, we hope you have an awesome day. And we hope that you care for those that are hurting. We want both of those things to be true. And we just love, man, that God has brought you to this place this morning. So no matter where you are, happy Father's Day to you. If it's hard or if it's just a great day for you, we want both of those people to celebrate today. And the way we do that is in Jesus. So I'm going to pray for us. We're going to jump into this passage. You may be going, if you're new to Vintage, you're like, I didn't see one single father in this story. He's there. Okay, God the Father is there. It's not going to be our typical, you know, like a special passage for Father's Day. We're in a series on Jesus and community. So we're just going to dig into how Jesus makes us a community of love and life. Let me pray for us, and then we'll start. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to you this morning. And we want to just thank you. We want to thank you that you have seen us in our condition and that you're not scared to enter into our place. You're not scared to enter into our hurt, into our pain, into our joy. You join us. So God, I pray today that through your word, would you help us see, namely Jesus Christ. Would you help us see how he has loved us, his great compassion towards us? Holy Spirit, would you exalt him today? Would you lift him up? Would you, in doing so, lift us all up? God, would you help us understand your grace, your love, your life that you pour out upon us today? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This summer, we are going through the Gospels. We're calling this Jesus and Community. And this week, we're particularly looking how Jesus has made a community of love and life. One tool to help you this summer that we're doing apart from our sermon series, but we want to invite everyone into, is this booklet. We have created this little booklet that gives you days of the week. So you can just go, let's say you miss a day. Just get to the day. It says, okay, Tuesday, June 27th is right here. If it's the 27th, flip it open. This will go through scripture and some quotes from a book called Life Together. And it's just going to help you to think through what Jesus has created. He's made us into a family, into a community. So this sermon series, we're looking namely at how he made us that way. And today we're looking at a story that is really defined by loss. If I can simplify what's happening in this text, is you have a widow. Her only son is dead. And there's this funeral procession. I mean, if you just had that, that is a sad story. That's loss, right? A widow, what does that mean? She's lost her husband. Now she is leading the procession of her only son's funeral. And Jesus shows up. And that's going to change everything. And interestingly, that's what changes everything for us. Jesus, the entrance of Jesus into this passage changes her story. It changes everything. So I want to talk to two types of people today. One, I want to talk to those who might put themselves in the category of the widow. Those of you who have experienced great loss and great pain. for some reason, maybe you haven't even experienced tons of great loss. You're like, I can't figure it out. I haven't gone through these tragic, traumatic events, but I feel like I'm at a great loss. I want to talk to you today. I want you to see this Jesus that sees those that have had great loss, and he moves towards them. He enters into their suffering. So if you have experienced loss, you're hurt, you're in great pain, one, I want to bring Jesus to you this morning. To the second person, I want to talk to those who might feel even worse than just loss. You may feel dead. You know, the son, his only action, I mean, until Jesus arrives, is he's laying on this bier, it's called, or a plank. He's been wrapped. He's just dead. Some of you feel that way. You feel like, I can't get anything going in my soul. It's hard for me to get out of bed. There's a deadness there. Some of you have never met Jesus Christ. The Bible's going to tell us if you haven't met him, you're like spiritually dead inside. I want to talk to those people, and I want you to see Jesus Christ this morning. This is all of our stories. All of our stories are found in this story today that Luke records for us. And I want to tell you, one, Luke was a doctor. He writes, he gathers all this information and he writes this gospel. So the interesting thing about this story is it's not in any other gospel. So this is from eyewitness testimony. What has been given to Luke in this story was told. This story was such in the mind of these people, maybe in this area of Nain, that they remember what like Jesus' response was to this woman. And it's just such a beautiful thing. I want us to see how Jesus brings love and life to people and to our communities. That is what we're going to do today. Let me give you, I always kind of like to give you the answers. If you're note takers, I want to just tell you, he does five things. He does the same five things in our life. This is what you're going to see in this passage. We're going to read it again, and I want you to see it. First, he sees. Second, he has compassion. Third, he touches. Fourth, he speaks. And fifth, he restores. This is what Jesus does to everyone he comes in contact with. This is the way he loves us. This pattern that we see for this particular woman, this widow, is what we're actually going to see for all of us. So we're going to go over those five things. We're going to see how Jesus does that, how he sees, he has compassion, he touches the son, he speaks, and then he restores. Okay, so let's read this story and try to enter in to this world. Jesus has just preached his famous Sermon on the Mount. This centurion has just came up to him and says, hey, I've got this like guy that I really want you to heal. Would you heal him? Jesus starts going to walk to heal him, and the centurion goes, hey, I'm a man of power. I know, I just tell my servants what to do and they do it. Like, I don't need to be there. I don't need to tell them to dig a ditch, and then I show up at the ditch and watch them dig the ditch. So Jesus goes, man, I've never seen faith like this. And he heals, he doesn't even go. He just Jesus heals him. The centurion goes back and his employee has been healed. It's pretty cool. Now he's here. This whole huge crowd is following Jesus. Okay, so I want you to come into this story with me. This incredibly large crowd is just like on tour with Jesus. The summer tour is happening. You know, for some of you, you went to the Fish concerts, and you just, and everywhere Fish went, or the Grateful Dead, or you just went with, this is kind of, I mean, it's this massive group of people are following Jesus. Okay, so do you get the picture? Jesus is in the lead. This massive group of people's behind him. Let's go to the story. That's where we are. Now he goes to this place called Nain. I'm going to read this whole section again. Soon afterward, this is after he healed the centurion's servant, he went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a great crowd went with him. As he drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. I mean, consider this, what's going on. There's this great crowd with Jesus. He's at the front of this great crowd. They're going into this little town, town called Nain. It's a small town. There's probably 500 people probably in this funeral procession because probably the whole town was there. I mean, when the widow of that town loses her only son, they all know about it. So probably about the whole town was part of this funeral. So you've got these two great crowds. One's coming out of the city. The son is the first mentioned that he had died. He's kind of in the lead here. And then you've got Jesus. I mean, what a picture to think about. There's this funeral procession, and then this huge crowd. And that could be just a really awkward situation. It's like, who gets off the road? It's a funeral, so there's like, you know, like if you were in that situation, what would you do? Would you just stand there and go, man, what's Jesus, if you're following Jesus, wait, why does Jesus keep walking towards? Isn't that awkward? Like, don't you, you know, like in our culture, it's like you have your lights on, everyone gets out of the way. But Jesus, like, keeps walking. And it's because he sees the mom. This is crucial. This is the first group of people I want to talk about. And so I want to talk about the mom, those that she's experienced so much loss. The passage tells us that out of every single person, there's two great crowds, and Jesus just sees this woman. This mom was a widow. I mean, it's very interesting, actually, the order of the way this passage is written. So look at verse 12 with me. It's like, as Jesus draws near the gate, it says this. It says the word behold. So he's like trying to say, look at this. Check this out. Behold. First, the son has talked about a man who had died was being carried out. So all you know right now is it's a man. Secondly, he was the only son of his mother. So then you're like, man, that's sad. Then what does it tell you? And she was a widow. Think of how that story just got, you know, if you just said it was a funeral, that's a sad story, but all of us know that happens. The second sadness is This was their only son. This was the greatest joy of the Jewish people. If you said, I have a boy, that was just like their greatest joy. Something about their society, and now she's lost her only son. The third thing, this is the order. I mean, look at that order. It's like it just gets sadder every statement. She was a widow. This would be like you losing your pension, Social Security, and Medicare. This, like, if you had one, a husband, he provided for you in this society. He was going to do the work. He was going to provide. This was like their social support structure was, and a lot of times, marriage. And then, if your husband died, at least your son would take care of you. I mean, she's lost everything. Consider that woman. Consider the sorrow of that woman. It doesn't tell us how that son died, but consider where she was at as she's wrapping him in his burial clothes, rubbing the spices, putting all this money of hers into her son, and she's got like nothing. And Jesus, out of the whole crowd, Jesus sees her. So as we're talking about the mom, now we have to talk about Jesus. Look at what Jesus does. He sees her. His heart, it says, enters into her pain. That's what the word compassion means. When it says he saw her and he had compassion on her. Compassion, you probably do know, comes from two words. Passion actually means suffering. Come means with. You suffer with people. That's what compassion is when you suffer with people. The Greek underlying word, the splachna, is what's talked about. It's like, it means your gut. It actually means your bowels, which is kind of disgusting. But in that society, they're saying in the deepest part of who he was hurt and he was moved. And here's the really interesting thing. How does Luke know that? How does he know that he had compassion on her? When we think about him writing this eyewitness testimony, people could see it on Jesus. Paul Miller, he writes this in his book, Love Walked Among Us. He says, compassion is the emotion most frequently attributed to Jesus. How can you tell that a person feels compassion? What did the people see on Jesus' features in this scene? After all, compassion is quite subtle compared to fear or anger. When I ask people what compassion looks like, they say it's communicated through a person's eyes. They are soft and tender, attentive and concerned. The entire body pauses and listens, absorbing the feelings of another. Perhaps Jesus stops mid-sentence and becomes quiet, transfixed as he looks at this widow. Or maybe his eyes moisten and tears roll down his cheek. Whatever his reaction, it is noticeable despite the commotion and distraction of hundreds of milling people. Have you seen compassion to you ever? Where you've told someone your pain and you can see compassion? It's like this. It's that absorption of the other person's feelings. The way they're looking at you, engaging you, you can tell they hurt with you. somehow Jesus' compassion is such, it's visible. When they retell this story, they can say he had compassion on her. He was moved. All compassion starts with seeing. You have to see a person before you can have compassion on them. Jesus is showing us how he loves us. First, he sees us. He knows what is going on in our lives. He sees our pain. And he enters in. He joins us. This is how he has loved this woman. This is our God. He does not stay far off from us. He sees us and he hurts. And it's the deepest part of who he is. In his gut, in his bowels, he has compassion and he's moved towards us. This woman he is moved towards, and he will not lose sight of her this whole time. This whole story, it's so crazy. If it was me and I was Jesus, last week if the water turned to wine and the wine ran out and I was Jesus, I would say, hey guys, y'all ran out of wine. Let me fix this. Everybody check this out. Let me show you. He does this weird miracle where he gets like no credit for it. Here, he raises someone from the dead and he keeps his attention on this woman. I mean, how easy would it be to be like, yeah, I'm like an awesome prophet. You know, these people are like, one, they're actually scared. It says they get freaked out by this, which I would be freaked out. If at a funeral, all of a sudden the coffin opens up after a guy says, get up. Be like, what's going on? Where am I at? Like, I think I would be scared too. But then I would go, okay, God has visited us. That's what they say. But I also would be like, yeah, I'm awesome. Go tell everybody, go tell the world. But this Jesus, he does not lose sight of the mom. He like is so focused on this widow. He does not lose sight of her out of like thousands of people are walking around, hundreds of people are walking around, and he's got her in his mind. Even after, because remember his pattern, he sees, he has compassion. He kind of speaks twice, but he's gonna touch the son. He speaks, and then he restores. That's that last thing, he restores. So to the mom, after this has happened, he brings, I love the language, he brought the son to his mother. That's when everything's complete with Jesus. It's not just like he sits up and Jesus is like, yes, now worship me, everyone. No, he cares about a person. He cares about this person that is hurting, that is at loss. If you are hurting, if you are in pain, if you have suffered loss, Jesus will not leave you. He will not forsake you once he did like some miracle in your life. He will wait till there's restoration. He will complete his work with you. He will not lose sight of you. What he starts, he finishes. He does not do things for publicity. Public acts are rarely personal, and somehow Jesus does that here. This public act that's so incredible, he still keeps his soul focused on this woman. I love that. It's moving. This Jesus Christ, I love looking at him. I love seeing who he is, how he loves. Let's consider the son. How do we describe the son? That's really hard. He's dead. He's been prepared for burial. He's wrapped in this story. This would probably, we don't know exactly what he's on, but this bear is probably a plank of wood that he would be wrapped in. He's been dead for a while. They would want to get in this culture, they would want to get and move the body pretty soon after death so that the smells would not be in the houses. And also for the Jewish people, there's a lot of uncleanliness that they had to consider in the way that they operated as a religious people. He's gone. He's dead. That's all we know about him. He can't do anything. But Jesus sees him too. He sees the woman, this widow. And it's really interesting. Go with me. He has this huge crowd with him. I think if I was with him and I was standing, I'd be like, Jesus, we need to get out of the way. We need to move. Like, they're going to the grave, but he's not going to let them go to this grave. Jesus keeps walking, and he speaks to the mom, and he says, don't cry, and he goes right to the son. And what does he do? It says he touches him. The way Jesus loves is he sees, he has compassion, he touches. This would have made, and for Jewish religious reasons, that you do not do. This would have made Jesus unclean. If you were here with us last week, where we were talking about this wedding, and they brought out these big jars, which is jars that they would use for their ritual washing to get clean. He's doing, like, he loves messing with cleanliness rules. I mean, he takes these jars that were meant for cleansing, and he actually just turns the water to wine. Over here, he himself enters into dangerous religious territory. Whoever there that was religious would have been like, don't do it. What are you? You just became unclean. He just broke the religious rules, the moral rules of society. Jesus touched the son that was dead because he loved him too. He would take that. He would take the uncleanliness because he loved the son. That's a powerful, I feel like when I was reading this part, I felt like my imagination was like, only a king can do this act. Because he like walks up, talks to the mom, and goes to these like pallbearers, stops them and just touches the body. It just seems so powerful to me that he has taken the time to go right to the son, touch the son, and then he speaks. And what does he speak? He speaks life to the son. I just love this. Young man, I say to you, arise. Listen, Jesus sees you. He has compassion towards you. You may not feel it, but he embraces you. He touches you. He takes whatever uncleanliness you feel like you have in your life, whatever brokenness, he'll take it. And he speaks to you. And he says the very same things here. Get up from the dead. Arise. He speaks life. I love in Ezekiel 16, when it's talking about Israel's state, it talks about them as being like this baby that was just thrown out in the field. This baby's bloody. He's just been thrown out. No one cares. And God walks up and he says one thing. The passage says, when God walks up, it says, when I saw you wallowing in your blood, I said to you in your blood, live. That's all of our stories. The Bible tells us that we were dead in our trespasses. Jesus does the exact same thing to us that he does to the Son. He sees. He has compassion. He touches. He speaks. And what happens? The man gets up. I want to tell you today, God's word is powerful. God's word defines every bit of your reality. The reason I love coming to church on Sunday is I forget what reality is every single week. When I go out these doors, it's very easy for me to think that Jesus is not king of the world, that he is not in control. The reality is when we come in here on Sunday, I want to remind you of ultimate reality. Jesus Christ has loved you. He is in control. He sees your hurt. He sees your pain. He has taken all of it. He has borne all of it. He is fixing every single thing. And one day, he'll wipe every single tear out of our eyes. He is in control. He will bring us to completion. The work that he started, he is completing. He loves us, and he will never stop that love towards us. And one day, we will be with him forever and ever and ever. His word, when it's spoken over you, you cannot help it. Those of you who do not have your faith in Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, it's dangerous to be here. It's dangerous to be in God's word, in his presence, because that means you're dead in your trespasses. And if he says, get up, you're going to get up. You're going to have your faith in Jesus Christ. You can't do anything. You can't do anything to get your salvation. You can't do anything to lose it. For those of you who feel like I can't believe I did that again. Am I really loved? Can God put up with me? Yeah, he rose you from the dead, and you cannot kill yourself when he raises you up. What he's made alive, he completes, and he'll bring you to his presence. Jesus Christ has loved you. He has loved you like this woman, like this son. This morning, I want you to consider that in the deepest part of his gut, this word compassion, it stirs for you. This is the community that he has made us. He has made us a community of love and life because that's who he is. Listen to this quote. I thought this was awesome. This is from a really, really old dude. I like old dudes. This guy was an early church father out of Syria, which the world is going crazy in Syria right now. But consider, man, Christianity was like booming in Syria. This guy's name is Ephraim. He was an early church father. Listen to this. I love the way he describes this passage. The virgin son met the widow's son. He became like a sponge for her tears and as life for the death of her son. Death turned about in its den and turned back its back on the victorious one. Let me read that one more time. The virgin son met the widow's son, and he became like a sponge for her tears and as life for the death of her son. You need one of two things. You might need both of them. One, you might need a sponge this morning. You might need what this widow needed, which was complete and ultimate empathy. And not only that, compassion, where God soaks up all your tears, all your pain. How do you respond this morning? There's one way. For those of you who feel at loss, let him be a sponge. Release it. Let him take all of your pain. The other thing that some of us need, we need to feel love. We need to feel like I'm dead. Or we don't need to feel like I'm dead. I feel like I'm dead. I need life. I love how he says, Jesus was as life for her death. Jesus has risen again. He died for you, and he rose again. You do not need to do anything. This son did not do one single thing. When the virgin son met the widow's son, you couldn't stop the life that was going to happen. Jesus would impose his will on the situation. this son was going to rise from the dead. And I want you to know you are loved this morning. And Jesus Christ speaks life to you. In Ephesians 2, which we memorized this last year, Paul can't rip apart love and life. He just can't do it. Listen to this. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. I mean, do you see that love and life? We were dead, but because he loved us with this great love, he made us alive. And interestingly, he made us alive together with each other and with Christ. This is the community he's made. Jesus made it. If you know Jesus Christ, you're in perfect community with all of us and with Christ. Here's the interesting thing. The reason he can bring us to life is because God made us alive together with Christ. Christ was dead. Christ had to die. For us to have life, Christ had to take our sin. He had to die. But when God rose him from the dead, he rose us with him too. We're alive together. He has made us a community of love and life. I want us to consider how we can follow Jesus Christ. This, I don't want this just to be how are we loved. This is also the way now we're to love. I want us to consider being a people that look for pain, that we see. Jesus saw the widow. I want us to be moved, that we start having compassion towards others. I want us to not be scared to get close to people, to touch them, to embrace someone in pain, to speak God's word. Let's speak God's word to these people who are hurting, to each other. And then finally, his goal is restoration. He restores this woman and her son. Let's be about that as a people. Let's love the way Jesus loved. Let's do that because we are loved in this way by Jesus Christ himself. This will change us and it will change our world. Would you join me in being a community of life and love because Jesus Christ has made us that? Let's pray. Jesus, it's overwhelming to consider how you love the people that are hurting in this room. When we hurt, you hurt, and you see us, and you enter into our pain. You are moved in your deepest parts when we hurt. And God, you have seen us in our death. You have seen us and you called out to us and you spoke life and we were dead in our trespasses and you raised us up. God, I pray that those who have not put their faith in you this morning, God, that they would understand that you've seen them, that you know every pain, every hurt, every sin in their life and you have loved them and nothing can stop your great love towards them. And for those of us, God, who are just hurting, who know you but need to be reminded of this great love, would you remind us today that you see us and that you love us? It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.